Hey, you're currently listening to season 3 of the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I'm your host, Laurence Bradford, and this season I chat with a range of individuals who work in tech. Looking for a coding bootcamp? Boston and Philadelphia-based Launch Academy has helped over 500 students launch coding careers since 2013 with curriculum that's updated every quarter based on hiring managers' feedback and lifetime postgrad support. Find out more at launchacademy.com. Flatiron School's online web developer program focuses on community, actual development tools, and features a curriculum that will teach you the skills you need to land a career as a software engineer. Get $500 off your first month by visiting flatironbootcampprep.com. Hey, listeners, welcome to the Learn to Code with Me podcast. I am your host, Laurence Bradford. In today's episode, I talk with Lara Medaglia. Lara is a software engineer for a health tech startup in New York. She's also an avid Instagram user with a huge following, and she uses Instagram to crush coder stereotypes. In our conversation, we discuss how Lara became a software engineer. She shares with us how she manages her Instagram account, and she also gives us some great advice on getting a job in tech. If you want to hear some great tips on getting a job in tech, as well as growing your Instagram following, this episode is for you. Remember, you can get show notes for this interview plus much more information about Lara at learntocodewith.me/podcast. Also, if you like the show, make sure to subscribe on whichever podcast player you listen on. And if you're feeling particularly generous, a review and rating would be great too. Enjoy the interview. Hey, Lara, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you today. I've been following you on Instagram for a while, and we're definitely going to talk about that towards the end of the interview. But really quick, could you introduce yourself to the audience?
Yes, of course. So I'm Lara Medaglia, and I am a software engineer. I work at a health tech startup in New York City. And an avid Instagram user. So that's me.
Yes, awesome. So before the show, I was doing some social media stalking, namely on your LinkedIn, which took me a bit to find, but I found it. And I noticed that you didn't study computer science or related while you were in college. So I'm curious, how did you first get into tech, and how did you begin learning how to code?
That's a great question. Yeah, so it is true. I was not a computer science major. I graduated as an English major with a creative writing emphasis, actually. But I had taken my first computer science class back in high school. It was an AP computer science course, and I loved it. It fit really naturally with me. I did really well in it and just like enjoyed it. But I never really thought of computer science or software engineering as a career. I had never thought of it as an option. I didn't know what a startup was. So I just kind of took it as like a class that I had a lot of fun in. And then I went to college, and I took one kind of computer science class in college my freshman year. It was just to fulfill a science requirement. And it was more focused on like what the internet is, like HTML, CSS. And then again, just didn't think of it. I was pursuing English until around my junior year my sophomore year, I was considering going pre-med. I took a couple of science classes, including calc, decided not to go pre-med, but realized how much I loved math and problem solving. And somehow it led me to taking computer science my senior year, which was late to the game. But that's kind of when I realized that I was really interested in it. Because I'd taken an AP class in high school, I placed into like a second computer science class, really loved it. And then took a data algorithms and data structures class for the second half of my senior year, and started interviewing and got a job as a software engineer with a lot of self-teaching combined with those three classes.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. So you were, okay, so you graduated with the English degree, but you did take a few courses that were
yes.
like in the computer science like area and interviewing
yes.
your senior year. Okay, so you then, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like out of college, you got this job at the startup and then you've been there ever since.
Yes, and I got the job while I was in college. Like interviewing in college. So I like kind of went to it like right when I graduated. And yeah, I've been there ever since. I love my current job.
Awesome. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't sure if you took a bit of a break or not a break, but you pursued like another career or something first and then went into it later.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I went right into software engineering. It was really my senior year that I was like, wait, this is what I want to do. And I'm going to give it my 100% and really, really like work to get a job and start my career in this industry.
Awesome. So you mentioned doing a lot of self-learning or self-teaching. Mm-hmm. What resources did you use and how did you go about that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So first of all, what I will say is that I think in my senior year, the courses that I took, it was an intro to programming, like part two, and then it was data structures and algorithms and discrete structures, which was a little bit more mathematical course. And I think those really lended well to like what people were covering in interviews, if that makes sense. So it helps me get a foot into the industry, being like very in that world at that time, that like more back end data structure world. And then I had this book that that we read in my data structures class. It was called Data Structures and Problem Solving Using Java. It's by Weiss. That was a fantastic book. I read that book front to back and I loved it. And then it was a lot of reading at that time. I was very like theoretical. I hope that answers your question.
No, definitely. And yeah, what you said about those courses at the time went very well with the interviewing process and some of the questions you're probably getting during the interview. So that's really neat. Okay. So you mentioned Java and you're taking these like more mathematical courses in college. Mm-hmm. When you started the job, what languages were you programming in? Like what other technologies were you using? And has that stayed the same over the last like 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm. So when I started my job, I started working in C#, which is similar to Java. They're different, but they're pretty similar, so it was an easy transition. I remember when I got my job, they sent us like a little box of books to just like reading to help prep you. And one of the books is this book it's called C# in a Nutshell. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's like it's a 2,000-page book, which makes the title kind of funny. So I read that book to get me into it, and then was thrown into web development, and that's when I started to work. That's when I learned JavaScript on the job. And in terms of like self-teaching, I think what was really great about that was just being able to pair like theoretical studying and like reading about JavaScript with really building things. And I learned that that's the best way to learn things. So I kind of learned how to learn at that time. And then since then, what other languages have I learned? With JavaScript in terms of frameworks, what I first learned was Backbone, and now my company has moved to using like React and Redux, working with GraphQL. So like the front end stack has certainly changed, and I've learned new frameworks. And then my company, as it moves to the cloud and can now build microservices in different languages, I've started to learn a little bit of Scala. I would say I'm not as proficient as I am in Java or C#, but learning Scala.
All right, awesome. So you mentioned like a bunch of different things, both on the front end, on the back end. So are you technically a full stack developer or?
Yes, I would say that for sure. Yes.
All right, awesome. And when you started off, you were mostly doing, you mentioned web development. So, that's what you're still doing today, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. Awesome. So that's really neat. So I'm circling back a little bit, but you got this job while you were still in college. So you were still like your senior year, correct? You were taking courses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Nice. So do you have any tips? And I know it's been like a while. It's like 4 or 5 years ago since maybe the time, maybe you don't remember everything 100%, but what was that like finding jobs your senior year of college. And did you do anything in particular or anything extra aside from the courses you were enrolled in to prep for the interviews?
That's such a great question and an important question. Yeah, so I think, like, first of all, what I will say is that, like, focusing on data structures and algorithms, I personally found really helped me in the interview process because it seemed to be what everybody was asking about. All of these, I kind of call them gotcha questions because it's funny, like, I didn't really know much about web development, but I was able to, like, do well in interviews because I was very comfortable with data structures, algorithms, that kind of stuff. So I would say focusing on that, like, just picking up a book and there's some sites out there, I wish I could remember them off the top of my head, where you can just practice like coding problems, data structure, like that involve using data structures. That I think really helped me, and I would advise for people to do that. I think I'm missing a second part of your question.
I was just asking about prepping and using, you mentioned this website, so no, that was definitely good. I was going to... Oh, and I'm also curious because you've had this one job since college. When you were interviewing, did you interview at other tech companies as well?
Yeah, I did interview at a couple of other companies. Although the company that I'm working for now, they actually came to recruit at my college, and that's how they found me. They came to recruit and they gave a talk explaining what they were doing. And I was like, wow, this seems like a really great company, really nice people. That was really important to me. And then at the end, they did this thing at the time where they would ask this like one question. And if you were able to get the question right, they would skip the Skype part of the interview process and pay to have you like come down and do the final interview rounds. And so they were asking this question to everybody. And then me and one other student, I think we got it right. So I, you know, 2 weeks later, and it, you know, the question was so easy for me because I had just been reading a chapter in that Weiss book and like knew like the perfect data structure down. I could like code it all out, everything. They had me come in for an interview a couple weeks later.
Wait, that is so cool. And I've never heard of that. Of course, I've heard of companies going to colleges to recruit and all that stuff. Mm. But so they gave you a question, and then whoever got it right got to go down to New York and be interviewed, and it was like an expenses paid kind of trip. And the question, was it like on paper? Was it on the computer? Like, how did they deliver it to you?
It was like a whiteboard pseudocode kind of question, but it was funny because they like couldn't have anybody see anybody else's answer. So you wrote it out on a piece of paper. I can barely even remember the question, but it was something about sorting and like efficient lookups, and like the answer was a hash set, and then like talking about a hash set, and like I was like, I was ready to talk about everything. I could tell you anything about like hashing, and it was it was that, and like we wrote it on a piece of paper. I think it's a bit of a blur to me now.
Yeah, but that's such an interesting technique. So basically, then and you got to skip the phone interview.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was cool. A hash table. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. That's really neat. So yeah, thank you for sharing all of that. Mm-hmm. And of course, as I think we mentioned a few times already, you're still working at the company. You live in New York, and you've been here ever since. So that's really, really exciting. Yeah. Obviously it's like a startup. You've been growing with the company, and that's all well and good. So now I kind of want to pivot a little bit, and I sort of feel like you have two lives. Like, not really, but there's like, okay, so of course there's Laura, like the software engineer full time, works at a startup. You've been there for like about 5 years, and then you also have this Instagram. And the Instagram, your handle is codergirl_ at the end. Mm-hmm. And every time I look back at your account, you have like more and more followers. I don't remember. I wish I remembered exactly how many you had when I followed you, but I feel like it was, I mean, maybe 5 to 15,000. And now you're at the time of the recording, you're over 38,000, but I bet by the time this episode goes live, which won't be for several weeks, you'll be at, I'm not good at guessing this kind of stuff, but a fair amount more. So, okay, just gave this huge long intro, but when did you start the Instagram account? And like, I guess kind of like, I don't know, like why and when, and how did you start posting so frequently?
Of course. So I think I started the Instagram account 2 years ago. It's funny that I can't think of the answer. I think it was 2 years ago. And so why did I do it? So there was a couple of reasons why I did it. So first of all, like I kind of mentioned to you, when I was a junior in high school, I took this computer science class. I loved it. I did well. And I just never thought of it as a career. Like, and I wish somebody had told me it was an option and that, you know, I could have seen somebody else, like a role model who could show me what the life of a software engineer was like. So part of it was me just wanting to show the world on like a platform that a lot of young people use and that a lot of people use, that this is a career and it's really fun and problem solving is fun and you can make a difference in the world. So that's a big part of it. And then another big part of it for me was, you know, when I was in college taking classes, it was like, I was like one or two of, it was like me and another girl. And then like, it was all guys. And there was this huge gender discrepancy in the field. And I wanted to put my face out there as a woman in tech and to show that this is something that women can do. And it's really, it's a great field to be in and it's rewarding. And yeah, just to like make people comfortable with that idea because there's that discrepancy, if that makes sense.
Sit tight, podcast listeners. We're taking a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors. Does your current job bum you out? Are you learning to code on your own and find yourself getting stuck? With Launch Academy's Boston and Philadelphia-based coding boot camps, you'll learn all the skills you need to launch your career in programming and software engineering in just 10 weeks. With a cutting-edge JavaScript curriculum that evolves every cohort to teach students the most current in-demand skills, it's the quickest route to becoming a software developer. Thanks to their 8-week prep program and a lifetime of postgraduate support, Launch Academy makes sure you get the job you want by continuing to teach you job prep skills after you graduate. That's why over 90% of Launch Academy graduate job seekers secure jobs as software engineers. Get started by attending an open house, a free Learn to Code event, or scheduling a one-on-one video interview. Make sure to ask about special offers for Learn to Code with Me listeners during your admissions interview. Find out more at launchacademy.com. Flatiron School's online web developer program, community-powered bootcamp, and free bootcamp prep courses are perfect for anyone interested in a career change and becoming a developer. Flatiron students come from a range of backgrounds, from financial to creative. What they all have in common is the passion, grit, and determination to learn to love code. Flatiron's rigorous 800-plus hour curriculum will teach you the skills you need to land a fulfilling career as a software engineer. Learn to Code with Me listeners can get an awesome $500 off their first month to get started on that career change. Just visit flatironbootcampprep.com. One online Flatiron student said he'd learn more in a couple of days with Flatiron than a year of computer science classes. If you're interested in learning how to think like a real developer while using tools actual developers use, check out Flatiron's online web developer program at flatironbootcampprep.com and claim your $500 discount. Yes, no, definitely that. And it's so awesome. And I remember when Instagram, not when it first came out, but when I first got on Instagram, and this was probably, oh my goodness, I could probably go back all the way to my first post and figure it out, but I think it was maybe 2013 or something. Mm-hmm. And I began getting into tech then and learning how to code and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would tweet about it a lot and write about it on my blog. But I love looking at Instagram as a social media like platform. I use it probably more than anything, like personally, where I go on and look at a bunch of stuff. And I think like every morning, that's like one of the mm-hmm. first things I do. Oh gosh, like check my email and go on Instagram. Oh man, like before
I'm
Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah,
it's just so engaging. But but I remember thinking, oh, it would be so hard to like share like kind of tech related content. And I've been so proven wrong, thankfully, mm-hmm. over the last few years. Because not only, I mean, of course you, but then there's other women and guys as well mm-hmm. that have these coding focused mm-hmm. Instagram accounts. I think it's so neat, like mm-hmm. some of the things that you share in your day to day, and not all of it, you know, relates to tech. You're on vacation, you're Insta storying like what you're, you know, out on the weekend or something like that. Of course, a mm-hmm. lot of it does relate to tech. But anyway, so I think it's so fascinating, and you're making it so relatable. Yeah, I think as you mentioned, and yeah, like anyone, like anyone can do it.
Yeah, anybody can do it, and it's so important. Like, for me, it's like, it's not just women in tech. It's also just like kind of crushing the stereotype of like, you can like software engineer, I don't know, like this idea of like somebody in a dark room that's like unhappy and has no other interests, like that you can like music and software engineering and, you know, like just showing that software engineers are real people too.
Yes, 100%. And the one thing, and anyone who goes to the account will pick up on this right away, I think, but you're very like fashionable, which I feel like is something that's kind of like another stereotype is, oh, if you're a programmer, like you wear like a dirty t-shirt and sneakers and, you know, coffee stain or something, I don't know, kind of grungy or something, but it's like quite the opposite for you, which is also really awesome just to debunk that myth. And going back to what you mentioned with doing computer science in high school, I never had the chance to do computer science in high school. We didn't even have, I mean, I think we had some computer courses, but nothing that was like programming. Mm-hmm. But I never thought of it as well as even a career option until much later. And it's so ironic because my dad was in tech his entire life. I had other people in my life in tech and as programmers, but I just never even, it was never even crossed my mind. So I love that you mentioned that and how you're doing that for people that are in middle school and high school and seeing that it is like, as you said, a rewarding career.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally awesome. So, okay, so with the Instagram account, going back to that, you have like over 38,000 followers, which is insane. It's so many. Have you been super intentional about growing it? Like, I feel like you could probably teach an Instagram marketing class of some kind if you really wanted. Like, yeah, like how has that been?
So I haven't been intentional about growing it, like in the sense that numbers aren't important, but what is important is that I feel like very connected to the community, the like tech Instagram community. And, you know, like there are people who are different than me in so many ways, but we share this passion for of love of coding and wanting to like motivate each other and educate each other and inspire each other. And that to me is what it's all about, is like creating a community where people are different. They come from all sorts of different backgrounds, like whether you love fashion or you hate fashion, and whether you're a girl or a guy, like that's okay. We just all love tech and let's share it. And so for me, it's about what is important to me is understanding what my followers want to see. And making sure that, of course, it's like in line with my interests, but like, I think listening to like my followers and motivating them has been what's important to me. And I think that that's what helped me grow, but maybe I'm wrong. It's just like, that's what's important to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, that definitely makes sense. If you're listening to what people want and, you know, and crafting your Instagram around that, it would make sense that it grows. But then I'm thinking as you're saying that, I didn't even consider this until right now, all the messages and comments and likes, do you just have the notifications turned off on your phone?
I actually don't have notifications turned off on my phone, and it eats up my battery like crazy, and people are like, you're crazy. Like, I have a little like charger pack I have to carry around with me. And you know, I can't reply to everybody's messages. That's for sure. Like, I work a full-time job and, you know, I'm running this account to share like my learnings with people. So I can't answer everybody, but I try to like answer people and answer comments. And most importantly, I try and find themes and comments and messages. So like, I might not answer everybody's messages, but if four people are like, hey, I love this, or hey, I have a question about this, then I'll be like, okay, this is a topic I need to address, if that makes sense. So I'm listening all the time, yes.
All right, awesome, awesome. And the other thing I wanted to ask, because you have the Instagram account, okay, and then you also have like clothing and accessories that you sell on your website. When did that start? And how do you have time? Because I know some of them are handmade, and you like sew them, or you sew, you embroider them. I don't know what the right term is. So I'm not that crafty, but yeah, talk about that.
Yeah. So I did start like this apparel. I started a website, and part of it is a blog and part of it is selling apparel, and it's like programmer apparel. And one of the goals, it's like in line with my Instagram account kind of, is like making clothing that's just like about that embraces the idea that like software engineers like are different in many ways, but we just all love programming and can like laugh together at the same jokes, even though we might be different. And I try and introduce some feminine ideas into the shirts too, to challenge stereotypes. So yeah, wait, I'm so sorry. I think I got lost. What was your question about?
No. It's so interesting. And I totally forgot about the blog too. I had seen some of your posts and saw you mentioning it on Instagram, and I just clicked over to it and I see you've been posting, you just posted something like literally, I think today. So that's really cool.
Yes, I did.
So I was asking just about like finding time and how you, well, actually you kind of just explained how you started, but just like finding time to do this, the embroidery and the sewing and all of that.
Yeah, so I do. I design the t-shirts, the like printed ones, but I do work with somebody who prints them. And then the embroidery I, you know, do on the side, like maybe if I'm watching a video or something. It's definitely like I'm not as up to date with that as I am with working on the shirts and the website and the blog. And then how do I find time? Like, I don't really watch TV. And I used to watch TV. So then when I stopped watching TV, I was like, huh, I guess I have some free hours. So I don't know. I'm really motivated to do this work. It feels really important to me, and I feel like I'm connecting with people and I have like a mission. And so I think that just motivates me to make the time and to just like keep on doing it. And when you enjoy something, it's just so much easier to do, you know, like you somehow are more productive.
Oh yeah. 1,000%. And yeah, what you're doing, I mean, it's so amazing, and it's grown so much. I can't wait to see how it grows in the future. And I'm curious, what is next with Coder Girl? The Instagram account / the website, the blog, the apparel. What are your future plans?
Well, I'd love to hear what people would love to see. And then I want to iterate on some of my t-shirt designs. So I'm going to be releasing some new ones. So that's one thing that is coming up. Stay tuned. And I've recently been working on app development too, which has been really fun. And I feel like I'm learning more. So those are kind of like the next projects, and then just like continuing my blog.
Ooh. So you said app development. I assume you mean like mobile app development.
Yes, I do.
Okay. And that's not related to the full-time job or on the side or?
Yeah, it is on the side. So I'm working on, so with the apps, I've been trying to find projects in areas that are meaningful to me, like ways that I want to positively impact the world, like things that like better help for mental health or the environment. So those are some of the projects that I'm focusing on the side too. And, you know, the great thing is that, you know, as you continue to work and learn, I gain more insights into like what to write on my blog posts and share with people. So it's like I'm in that work also generating more content to share.
Awesome. That's really cool. I'm excited to see some of those things and just watch it evolve on your blog. And yeah. I have a like closing scenario question. So a lot of the listeners don't have computer science degrees. Now, mm-hmm. of course, neither do you. I know you took some mm-hmm. courses, but not exactly. Mm-hmm. But not the full CS degree. What advice would you give to someone who has no or limited technical experience but wants a job in tech? What mm-hmm. thing can they start doing today to take a step in the right direction?
That's such a great question. So I'm going to give you like a couple of things that I would say. So the first is like you adopt this mentality, which is the internet is your friend, and like Google things, like Stack Overflow things, read things, use the internet to find like knowledge is like can be shared now, and you can learn so much for free. So definitely like use the internet. And don't be embarrassed about your Google searches. Like feel free to Google, like learn how to code or like, what does this mean? Even if you think what does X mean is a silly question, just do it. So that's one thing that I would say, just like as a mentality piece of advice. Another thing that I think I learned was really important is like finding people who you can kind of like code with or share ideas with or learn with, like go to hackathons maybe and make some friends and share like, hey, I read this cool article. And the person can be like, I read this cool article. What did you think about this? Like there's this idea called a coder ducky or a developer ducky where you kind of like bounce ideas off of people. And sometimes just talking things out loud with somebody can help you like realize answers to your problem, or like you gain more perspective. And there's so many different ways to approach problems in this industry that I think having a community is important, just to like grow yourself. So there's that. Find good books. There's like so many lists out there of good books. The book that I recommend to people that I just really think was so fantastic is that Java book. I have it's Data Structures and Problem Solving Using Java, and it's a book by Weiss. I think that that's a fantastic book, and I'm sure there are other great data structure books out there and books and, you know, topics of whatever. If you're more interested in front end, there's great front end books out there. What else? I would also say, here's another thing, is combine theory with practice and really just practice. So like for me, one of the biggest jumps in like my learning was when I started my job and really started working like real-time coding. And I think if you want to work in tech and like, let's say you want to work in web development, try and build a website. It'll take you a lot of time the first time around, but try it out, or like try and build a game or whatever you're interested in and practice it. And then I guess another thing I would say is learn how to learn. And what that means is like learn how to approach problems. A lot of like computer science and tech is problem solving. And so like, as you continue to solve problems, figure out the techniques that work for you and then draw upon those as future problems approach you. Learn how to debug is also really important. Like in front end, console.log or place a debugger, learn how to use your Chrome extension tools. Debugging is really important because it'll help you understand what's going on with your code. And don't be afraid of bugs also, I guess I would say. Everybody gets them, and don't let that discourage you or make you think that, you know, this isn't meant for you. Like bugs happen. Sometimes you get that red console error because like something didn't compile, right? Don't let that stop you. And believe in yourself, I would say. It's tech. Sometimes I think that there's like the stereotype, especially with computer science, that it's like so impossible and like, you know, just like the most difficult thing ever. And it's not, it's problem solving, and you can really like learn how to solve problems, and it's so doable. So just believe in yourself. I feel like I've given you a really long list and I could probably keep on going with it.
No worries at all. No, thank you so much for sharing all that. It's super helpful. And I know all the listeners are definitely going to be eating that up. And yeah, I was writing down while you were saying everything. And mm-hmm. I love, earlier on, you mentioned the community. I think that's so important, like finding other people that are also learning to code who already are in tech and are a little more experienced and learning with them or learning from them. And then, yeah, everything else you mentioned was really awesome too. So thank you so much, Laura, again, for coming on the show. And finally, where can people find you online?
You can find me on my Instagram account, CoderGirl, and with the underscore sign.
Yes. And I think if anyone probably just searches CoderGirl, you must be one of the first results, if not the first. Even if it's misspelled, I'm sure it probably shows up really high. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Again, the show notes for this episode can be found at learntocodewith.me/podcast. If you're listening to this episode in the future, simply click the search icon in the upper navigation and type in Laura's name. It's spelled like L-A-U-R-A and her last name M-E-D-A-L-I-A. Moreover, if you liked this interview, head on over to my website, learntocodewith.me, where you can find even more awesome code-related content, like my 10 free tips for teaching yourself how to code. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week.